Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
at an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
And hello, everybody. Happy Party Friday. Julie Hayden, Chuck Bonneville, the Chuck and Julie Grassroots Show here today in this Party Friday. Chuck is going to be joining us telephonically in a second. But first, I want to say the show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine, and HappyTrees.co. So, Chuck, I'll let you go ahead and say hi, and then we'll bring in Todd, the guy that you were just at the meeting with, so we can talk about, we're going to talk about all things opt-out, and then also let you know that Peg Page and Linda Bassett are on their way back. They're driving back from Mike Lindell's election summit, and they're going to be filling us in on everything there. But first, Chuck, hello. When you get here, you've got the seat ready for you and all warmed up, so you can just
Perfect. I'll go from the phone to the set almost seamlessly.
Exactly.
Part of this.
So you and Todd Watkins from El Paso County have been working on the opt-out, liberating the Colorado Republican primary from the meddling Democrats and, as it turns out, more and more the rhinos. And you guys were just at a meeting. And before we get to the meeting, Todd, what I'd like, Todd to talk about is one of the things that the Bonneville Amendment and the opt-out has forced politicians and consultants and lobbyists and just straight up people to do is sort of show their true colors in terms of whether they're grassroots or rhinos. And it seems to me, from what I've seen, one of the, I'm calling her the queen of the rhinos, is State Senator Barb Kirkmeyer. She ran unsuccessfully for CD8 after viciously attacking Lori Sain, who's grassroots. And she has been doing everything she can to get rid of the Bonneville Amendment, to get rid of the whole opt-out thing. And you know, you got to wonder, why would she be doing this? And Todd, if you could talk a little bit about, you were at a meeting not that long ago where she sort of said the quiet part out loud. And as I understand it, basically said, well, she knows no one would actually vote for her, so she has to keep the system rigged, basically.
Yeah. I'll preface this by reminding everybody that it was Barb Kirkmeyer who introduced Senate Bill 23-101, which was the short name for it, I guess, would be to abolish caucus and assembly. Some of our El Paso elected reps jumped on and co-sponsored it. One is Mary Bradfield in the House. I know Larry Liston, another state senator, and Bob Gardner, another state senator, also signed on to it. The bill died. I believe it was run twice through committee, died both times in committee. And, you know, the politics being the strange bedfellows, it was the Democrats who killed it. So,
yeah.
So, and that was to get rid of caucus and assembly. So at the last Capitol luncheon that they do up in Denver, there's an Italian restaurant there in downtown. I forget the name of it.
Maggiano's, I think.
There you go, Maggiano's, yeah. It was the last Denver lunch, the GOP lunch that Christy Burton Brown hosted. And our newly elected secretary in El Paso asked her about that particular bill, and she stepped, that was my bill. And I'll tell you, the reason that I ran it is because I don't like assembly. I don't have good experiences at assembly. They're uncontrollable. They're rowdy and not, you know, they're not.
Let me just step there. Anyone's ever been to assembly, they can be rowdy, but they're like any mass meeting. They're boring. I mean, you would not say, oh, this is a rowdy good time. It's sort of what she means is, well, I'll let you go ahead and finish, and then I'll ask Chuck sort of.
Well, I mean that this kind of our republic was founded on the notion of robust political debate. Mm-hmm. there were near fist fights while during the constitutional congresses to determine whether or not we're going to join the war. Are we going to declare independence? During the constitutional conventions, there were diametrically opposed voices in there that became quite contentious and angry, and there were arguments and near fist fights. So guess what? That's what politics is about. I think it's Jefferson. Somebody correct me. I'd rather have a dangerous freedom than a quiet servitude. I mean, this is what he's talking about. We argue and we fight to maintain what we've got. So really what Senator Kirkmeyer was getting at is she knows she won't get through assembly. She will not. She is petitioned on for the last, I don't know, certainly the last time she was elected. And same with Larry Liston and
Bob Gardner and
El Paso. Right. They always petition on. And the thing that they don't like about opting out is not so much that we wouldn't have unaffiliated voting in our nomination process. It's the byproduct of opting out of this, of the, you know, Colorado Secretary of State administered primary race, is the fact that there's nothing to petition onto. So that avenue is the pay to play version is gone. I believe that Kirkmeyer alluded to agreeing with the I'm going to call it the Patrick Davis plan. I don't know if you guys saw that. It was published.
Right, you could not only talk about pay to play.
Right. It had a list of it was like a scheduling a Biden visit. It looked like, you know, if you $250,000, I'll come and wave and get your attorney general fired. That's half a mil. You know, it's and it was, yeah, I think the top line was for U.S. senator and governor was a $250,000.
To get on the ballot. Let me bring you in here, Chuck, because it seems to me what Barbara Kirkmeyer and these people who have been opposed to the Bonnie Amendment, opposed to the opt-out, what they're trying to tell the grassroots people is you guys should just shut up, let the donor class and the consultants pick which elections they want to give all their money to, so then we will do their bidding and be their puppets, and you stupid grassroots voters with your little stupid voting ideas, you know, should just go away and let your rich elite betters tell you how to run things. I mean, that seems to me to be what she's saying, right? Or is that too strong?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, she didn't want Republicans determining who the Republican candidate is to be. She wants Democrats to go unaffiliated for a day, deciding who we have. It's amazing the kind of anti-populist thing that the rhinos are. You know, they just say, oh, no. Rich guys win. We've always been known as a rich man's party. And we need to continue that tradition and not represent anybody who's not worth at least a half a billion.
Right. So, well, and Barbara Kirkmeyer, again, just so people know where she's coming from, because I think she's kind of taken over Weld County, which is, you know,
become the rhino country due to the help of Catherine Murdoch and other left-wing Democrats contributing tons of funds to them. Well, they now control Weld County. Weld County is a rhino hotbed.
And I think that it's important then, because I think the way that politics works, and people need to understand this, is so if you want to be anybody, so Barb Kirkmeyer is probably the most powerful Republican up there in Weld County. Would you say that's fair, Todd, right now, at least elected official?
I'm not a Weld County scholar, but I will tell you that at the meeting on August 5th, when we got to the fist fights over opt out and Bonniewell, she seemed to be kind of the nucleus of those of several elected officials who were consulting with her. You know, kind of they seemed to be taking instructions.
And and I think the way it works is, so if you're, you know, like a county, you know, Republican leader, like the head of the Weld County Republicans, I mean, or if you're in CD8 or if you're in any of these things and you kind of want to play in politics, you kind of, it's very difficult to stand up to a Barb Kirkmeyer, right? Because she's sort of a figurehead, like you said, sort of the queen, or I said, sort of the queen rhino there.
Yeah. And she's a real bully. She's a huge bully. Well, I mean,
right. Well, yeah, just ask Lori Sane about that. And so I think it's important to let people know exactly what it is she's doing. And Todd, that's why I think this conversation that you had, where she flat out said, well, yeah, the reason I'm opposed to the assembly and the caucus process is because no one would vote for me. It's like, no, it doesn't occur to her to actually maybe change her policies or to maybe see what people think. What occurs to her is to help come up with a rigged system that can avoid the voters. And Chuck, weren't you telling me, she was on the JBC, right? She's like walking hand in hand with Jared Polis. I mean, we're not talking, you know.
She is charged with getting Polis's agenda easily through all the financial problems it would otherwise have. And so she is, in a lot of ways, if you're on the Joint Budget Committee for minority party, that is probably the strongest position down at the Capitol for being in the minority party. So she's not only powerful in Weld County, but she's very powerful down to legislature.
Well, and that's a good point, because if I'm, say, Stephanie Luck, a true grassroots representative, and I've got some bills, I mean, you got to play with the Joint Budget Committee, right? And so if you've got enemies or people who you oppose, we're not going to change everything overnight, but I think people need to be aware about that's what's going on, that on the one hand, she'll portray herself as a strong conservative, and then on the other hand, when nobody's looking, she turns around and does all these other things that are designed – frankly, to try to destroy the grassroots Republican Party, wouldn't you say, Todd?
Yes.
Down here in El Paso County, there's the the Bremer clan that is flat out said that the problem with assembly is the grassroots. Mm-hmm. And actually, they've turned now. Bremer has his disciples that follow him and opine loudly on social media and other platforms that they are now the grassroots. We are the establishment.
Right, and we're in Adams County. They're portraying us as progressives. It's kind of like whoa.
Yeah. They got the same memo. Yeah, we're progressive liberal establishment now. Which, yeah, I mean, it's entertaining, whatever you want to call it. I guess it doesn't change my narrative or my ideology. and that is the problem, is they flat out said, we don't know what we're doing. We pick bad candidates. We have bad candidates. Only the, experienced and credentialed, Republicans of the old guard are capable of doing this at all. And it's our fault that the party is suffering, never mind that they've actually had control of it for the past how many decades.
And have lost historically, right? I mean, I would point out that Barb Kirkmeyer lost in CD8, right? And I mean, and it's not like they're doing a great job. I think all of us in grassroots would be willing to listen if they actually got people elected, but they don't. They want, and then they blame us. It's like, it's not our fault. But well, let me ask you guys, because I know the reason Chuck is driving and Todd, you guys are both at a meeting talking about some of the opt-out stuff. And I just think it's a good idea to keep people posted, because September, 30th, the state Republican Party Central Committee will be talking about this. And there's a ton of misinformation, and that's putting it mildly, put out by people, some of the rhinos and all out there. And so I'll let you, I mean, Chuck is still driving back. Todd stayed there. So you guys Chuck, sort of update people on where things are and what you guys are talking about, and keeping in mind that obviously nothing is set in stone at this point yet, as I understand it.
Well, we have to address two salient facts. One, how do we pay for a Republican primary? Which means we got to keep the cost down. And the rural counties don't have any money and they don't have logistics. So we've got to help them out with regard to all that, which means the state party has to assume most of it. So the system, that's going to be proposed.
Chuck must be coming home.
I must be coming home. I'm slowly walking toward the
I heard the chair. Dog bark. live podcasting. Chuck returns from the meeting.
I will say this, Julie. Here's what I learned today. If you have two lawyers in the room, you will get six different opinions on the same question.
Absolutely.
And, in general, try never to have more than one lawyer in the room, if at all possible. So
one too many.
Well, and so back to what you were saying. So one of the key factors is the counties obviously can't afford to pay for it. So we got to address that. Right. And then also the state party has to address that. And what was the other issue?
Well, they don't have the people, logistics. Right. I mean, we just had a state assembly where 11 counties we're even not there either by proxy or by anything else. And so, you know, they're not going to be part of a statewide election process if you're requiring people to be intimately involved. So we got to take that burden off of that. And I think we've come up with some pretty good ideas that we'll come out with in the next week or so.
That's good to point out. And then, Todd, I want to see, because that's one of the things the rhinos and the establishment. Jacob is saying, what does Dick Wadhams have to say about this? Dick Wadhams he's firmly in the Barb Kirkmeyer camp, right? He hates it. Keeping in mind that he's a consultant, so he gets paid for. So I think one of the things that the opposition uses is, well, the counties can't afford it. You're like, right, we get that. And guess what? They're not going to have to afford it. You know, we're working on a plan or developing a plan, so it won't be any extra work for them. So, Todd, what were some of the other things that...
I think most important that we should say with this is this isn't going to be, you know, if we do opt out, this isn't going to be done by fiat, that the body will be presented with at least two different versions of what opt out looks like. So there's, you know, plan A, plan B. So pick which flavor you want and then decide whether we opt out. And so you know that if we do this, this is how we're going to do it. And y'all had a choice in what that would look like. This wasn't just spoon fed.
Right. Right. And then Chuck, you made a joke about the change orders.
Well, you know, we come up with one and then you get the power to be say, yeah, but we can't do that. There's no money for that. You know, and they say, okay, how about this? And they go, yeah, but the counties can't do that. You can tell them they have to, but they can't do it. So you have to come up with a system which takes the burden off them, gets it assumed by the party, and the party has the capacity to do it. And I think we've come up with a funding mechanism that will, I think, be approved by the executive committee coming up that will help pay for it all. So.
Well, and here's an important part, and Todd, I'd like you to comment on this. The other thing I think people need to understand about this is if this opt-out doesn't go through, there is, I think, very little hope for the Republican Party in Colorado. There's going to be none because it's just going to be Democrat light. The Democrats will continue. It'll be or worse, right? Because an actual Democrat.
Is that true?
I mean,
is that true, Todd? Republicans are worse than Kirkmeyer. God, that's a hideous thought.
Because I mean, we've seen evidence that the Democrats openly acknowledge. Look at the CD3 race where they were openly telling their supporters Democrats to unaffiliate as a Democrat,
right,
to affiliate as a Republican, and then to vote in the Republican primary to try to oust Lauren Boebert because they know they had a hard time getting rid of her. Yeah, and the general.
And they made her spend a lot of money.
They make her spend a ton of money. We know Catherine Murdoch, for instance, we have friends who bundle money for Democrats. Catherine Murdoch, very liberal, is openly playing in Republican primaries.
Well County
in particular. So we know the Democrats are meddling. And if we don't stop them, I mean, you know, this time with this and between this and the lawsuit, I don't think there's going to be very much stopping them. And I guess if you like homeless encampments, if you like more plastic bag fees, if, you know, what Jared Polis is disastrous, universal pre-K, except for only for five kids, destroying daycare centers, screwing up all kinds of things.
Prop HH, that's for you.
Yeah, Prop HH. I mean, if you like all of those things, if you took a look at your recent, you know, tax assessment and said, hey, I like, I want to pay even more.
They didn't burden me enough.
That's right.
I can take more.
Then you want to keep in the open primary. I mean, or is that, am I exaggerating, do you think, Todd?
No, that's all correct. I mean, since the first round of open primaries, we've lost, it's either 23 or 24 seats. The Republicans have lost. It's just continually lost. The party is bleeding out at the governmental level. We are losing our footprint and our presence in our governance, whether it be at the state or at the local levels. So we desperately want a permanent fix. Opt out is a temporary stop the bleeding measure. I characterized it as kind of we're fighting a delaying action. I mean, this has to be done every 2 years. So it's not enduring. It's not permanent. It's not right. The forever. It is a way to stop the pain or mitigate the pain until we can get a permanent remedy for this. But if we don't do this, well, I mean, we're going to lose. I take a guess. We could have a poll on a betting pool on this. How many seats will we lose in 24?
Yeah.
Well, and what kind of representation do you get? Just look at Liberty's scorecard. Seven people did not get a failing grade. And they're not radical. Point. I mean, it's seven people in the House and Senate combined.
Fine. So it's more than 19. Jesus. it's worse than a Bud's graduation rate, right? Yeah. Sailors go in, 12 or 10 or 12 come out as SEALs, you know?
Well, so that's the thing. And so you guys are working on this. And I just think, like I said, Iwana and Todd, I appreciate your time. Wanted to just update people on what's going on. And to let them know that the fight continues. I mean, the positive thing is the grassroots do have, I don't know if it's fair to say control of the party, but we have a voice at least, right? And we're getting organized too. The rhinos are equally vicious, not equally vicious. They're
and better funded.
They're better funded. They're extremely more vicious and they aren't going away without a fight. But I don't think they expected this kind of strength in the grassroots. Did you?
They weren't expecting this. I think we presented ourselves as more formidable, if I dare say, than what they anticipated. And I think we came at them with a higher level game than they thought that we would.
There's always this too, like your ideas are the correct, good ideas, right? I mean, that always is helpful too, if you're like on actually the right side, right?
Well, it was so, the one thing the Bonnywell Amendment did, as you pointed out, Julie, smoked people out. You know, Eric Odlin said, I'm grassroots, sort of. No, he's not. Total rhino.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Todd, listen, I'll let you go. I appreciate you sticking around. But obviously we'll be in touch too. So good luck. Have a great weekend.
Likewise. See you guys.
Right. Talk to you later.
All right. So we've got Peg Cage and Linda Bissett are driving back. And if they're there, they can come on Zoom. But Wes Eimer just texted me. He wanted me to report. Okay. Oh, breaking news though, Wes, I'll talk about your promo here. But interestingly, I think this is pretty funny. Donald Trump apparently, and he hasn't publicly definitively said, although he's hinted, but according to the New York Times, right?
Well, yeah, you can trust him.
That Donald Trump is not going to be attending the Fox debate on Wednesday, the 23rd. Instead, this is so fun, he's going to be doing an interview with Tucker Carlson.
Yay!
Tucker Carlson had 31.5 million views of his Ramaswamy interview in 24 hours. So,
crazy.
You know, and I think, and so can you see, so Tucker Carlson and Trump are like, oh, Brett Baer, Martha McCallum,
can't make it.
Yeah. But if you do want
to attack Ramaswamy, because...
Right. So, but if you do want to, the Republican Party is holding a presidential debate watch party. It's going to be on Wednesday, obviously the 23rd. The doors open at 6 o'clock. I'm reading. It's at the Wide Open Saloon in Sedalia. Tickets are required. But I think if you just go to the, go to GOP, ColoradoGOP.org/events. So there will be a watch party there at the Wide Open Saloon at Sedalia. That sounds kind of fun, on August 23rd. And then you can simultaneously watch the Trump interview with Tucker Carlson on Twitter. So other big stuff going on. And we've got, they're traveling. We've got Peg Cage and Linda Bissett, Peg from MyColoradoGOP.org. And Peg, you guys were at, and I tried to watch as much of it as I could, but the Mike Lindell election summit has been going on for a couple of days. You guys are on your way back. Hopefully you're not driving. No, Peg isn't driving.
We got Adriana's driving. She's a truck driver in her dream. So she's great.
So, and I'll let you and Linda just kind of join in. But why did you guys, so tell us exactly what this was, and then maybe what were some of your big takeaways?
Well, my first big takeaway is what a hero is Mike Lindell, that he would call us all together and get us under one roof and try so hard to get this republic saved. The man is amazing. He's just amazing. And generosity upon generosity upon generosity. And I just, if he hears this, thank you, Mike. We really appreciate you.
How many people were there?
What do we say? Probably 400 or 500.
Okay. And was it, what, you had Laura Loomer, Steve Bannon? I mean, they had some big names.
Great lineup. And they were just walking around. We got to tell them thank you and say hi all the time. So it was really great. It was a great time. Gives me hope for the nation. And it was funny because we went to a gathering the night before, and one of the first speakers got up and said, "We have to unify. We have to get together. We have to all work together. And no more of this separate stuff." And then one of the first things that Mike Lindell said was that, you know, we've got a uniparty, and we're just going to call them the evil. And because that's what they are, the evil. So he wasn't trying to get us to unify with people who are against our values and our platform. And he kept calling our great president, Donald Trump, our great real president, Donald Trump. Well, that was great. His big reveal, as you probably heard, was the WMD, the wireless monitoring device, which is able to tell people, it's able to tell in real time if a device comes online, because as you know, the big lie was, we don't have any of our equipment online. There's nothing online. And so now we'll be able to tell in real time if something does go online.
Well, let me back up and explain that a little bit more. So folks know too, because the corporate mainstream media, the left, they immediately say, oh, that's debunked. Well, it was the own CISA, the government cybersecurity organization itself, said that no, it was vulnerable to, you know, that when they say, oh no, none of these election systems are not online, they can't go online, you can't hack into them, the government itself said, well, no, that's not true.
That's not a test.
And that actually, that should be something we should all be concerned about, right? And so the government itself, and then there's been all studies, and they immediately, they try to slam people for doing that, and they're like, oh yeah, put aluminum foil around your head. But so how would this actually, I mean, I know, not, don't give us a technical explanation, but how would this work? Uh-oh, Peg froze. Weapons.
I think the system got her.
There you go. How would this work, Peg?
Am I back?
You're back.
I think that the threat is what they're hoping will be the biggest deal, because if all the county clerks understand that this lie is going to not go undetected this time, then maybe they would start thinking maybe they should go hand counted paper ballots rather than the machines, because they could get in a lot of trouble. Of course, Republicans always get in trouble and the Democrats don't. Yeah, so I don't know if that would do any good.
Would this work though? Would this
I'll let you talk to.
Oh, I was going to say, would this be a device, what, that had to be at each, like, Secretary of State's? Or do you just hold up your phone?
Each voting center would have one of these devices. And they did a live demonstration where they were able to see all of the devices that were connected. And then you can say, okay, I don't want to see any cell phones, turn off all the cell phones. I don't want to see any of the office equipment. I don't want to see when your printer comes on and that sort of stuff. And so it's supposedly able to tell. You can focus in on your ballot printing device or your monitoring, your ballot reading device or
and
whatever.
Would this be something then that, say, a poll? I mean, obviously the poll watchers, they're not going to let the actual poll watchers take it in. But would this be something that sort of poll watchers outside of the sun? I mean, I can't imagine Jenna Griswold's not going to go, oh, yeah, bring that all
in. No, I think it would be something that people would have to have near the building. Or maybe some of the poll walkers could take it in there and it would be online. Yeah, there's legal stuff that
right.
we're not sure about, but, you know.
Well, here's the thing. My challenge to Jenna Griswold, if we have the gold standard, unhackable, if none of this will work.
That's Ken Buck who said
that. Oh, Ken Buck, too. It's like, let us bring it in there, show it, right? What do they got to worry about if it's all perfect?
That's how they've treated the clerk up in Mesa County.
Yeah,
that's right. Well, with news about the clerk up in Mesa County, I'll turn it over to Linda and let her talk a little bit.
Okay. Hey, Linda.
Hi there.
How are you?
We're good. How are you doing? Thank you for coming on.
I'm having a bit of a stronger reaction than Peg. That's probably not too surprising.
No.
I found the whole thing very concerning, actually. And I'm just going to start with the same thing. Mike Lindell is a hero. And we as the grassroots patriots need to circle around him and pretty much save him from the pit of vipers that have surrounded him now. And that's where I'm going to go with my little report is.
Okay.
It became very evident that just about everybody up on that stage with him is sucking him dry of money and or connected to the intelligence community. So the deep state has circled him as the deep state circled our President Trump during his first term. And it's time we shake him free so that he does not get drugged down, because we need to think really long and hard about who's trying to bankrupt him or getting him in legal troubles, because that could be the deep state or that could be someone personally that would benefit. He started off his talk saying how good.
I was just saying, you know, and that's right. I mean, for folks who don't, he's under criminal investigation, Mike Lindell. As the FBI was like tracking him, on a hunting trip and seized his cell phone? I mean, it's ridiculous. And they're not, it's not really entirely clear what they're accusing him of. But yeah, it doesn't matter. But it's very clear that he's a target. And I think you're right. The fact that, and I'm sure just like Tina Peters, right? Tina Peters, the Mesa County clerk, showed us a document where the prosecutor said, if you'll just shut up about this election interference, all of your legal troubles will go away. And Tina, as an amazing woman, said, I'm not going to shut up.
Unwisely said no.
Well, I mean, and I'm sure Mike Lindell has had the same thing. You shut up. But instead, what does Mike Lindell, what did Tina Peters do? They're like, okay, we're going to, because Tina spoke at this summit too, right? We're going to have an election summit. So, you know, what heroes, and as you said, you talk about in the face of personal persecution and prosecution. I mean, Tina Peters has to wear an ankle brace. I mean, these people are not messing around.
Irish won't grow it.
And so let me tell you a little bit more there. So obviously the deep state would benefit with Mike being taken down because he's trying to free our elections. But there's also probably a personal, maybe a partner that could benefit from him financially. He disclosed to us at the beginning that he'd spent $40 million so far, and he just took out another $5 million loan. The man is really struggling financially. So who is trying to squeeze him dry? Now, what I discovered while I was there involves both Tina and Cause of America. And I want you to know I've been involved in Cause of America all along because I'm trying to do what I can do to help save our elections. But what it became very apparent that the people who are around him are sucking him dry and have intelligence community connections. So what I've specifically with Cause of America, the plan was this device, which has a whole bunch of technical and legal issues that need to be worked out. Okay. Right. There, 2022, there was an app that was out that was promoted by Tori Morris, just a woman that I often listen to. And it does the same thing, essentially. So we as grassroots, a bunch of us had brought this into the election centers just to see what devices there were. So there's that. So this is a recycled idea, upgraded and not very well thought out. Legally and how, who's going to afford it? Where is it going to go? We couldn't even describe it to you, right?
Okay.
And I think that puts him in legal jeopardy until that's really ironed out. Personally, okay. I think that's an issue. And then the idea of the Cause of America web state, where we're all going to have a state. So we're going to call these all state groups, right? Well, that idea has been sold to Mike now twice by a journalist and, I don't know, we'll call him a producer. And that also is a recycled idea. And it makes me sick because the people that sold it to him basically then got a $200,000 to $300,000 salary off of someone else's recycled idea. So they're sucking him dry. And I'm disgusted with it because the grassroots don't, I work 12 hours a day. No one's paid me a dime in 3 years, right? We don't need someone else making 300 grand just to set up a Zoom meeting every week, right?
We do, but no one will give it to us.
So, yeah, the people can take back this country. So that's my general upset with that. But where this goes is that the same people involved in doing that are the same people. Well, you got a PhD and maybe a doctor's wife or someone that sells cosmetics who were just heroes that made a few dollars to help Tina and come into fame themselves. Turns out they have links to the intelligence community, and they targeted Tina knowing she was a patriot, and they set her up for failure. And the weight of this has been growing on me ever since I found that out. I've suspected it for a year and a half, and I have confirmation this weekend. And let's stop and think about that. Not only do these people not care that Tina's being persecuted and faces jail time personally, they've destroyed the woman's life. But think about it for our state and our nation. When they took that image and they messed up, they led her to do things that weren't, I don't know, that they didn't do it properly. Let's just go there, right? So that has set up all the county clerks across the nation. They're scared. They're not going to get Tina Peters by their count. They're secretaries. Right. So no one's working with the people. No one will do their duty because they don't want to get thrown in jail like Tina.
Well, and that's one of their main tactics. And I think what you're saying is, and then let me go back to Peg to kind of wrap things up, because you guys' signal is a little bit shit. And I know you've got a lot more, so we'll have you. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, for grassroots people, you just always need to use your brain, right? Use a good common sense you have, you know, trust, but verify, or maybe verify and then trust. And that's just good advice for whether you're talking about a boyfriend or, you know, or whatever. So, yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I'll just quickly do this. The other thing that did for us, think about it in Colorado, is it was the basis for SB 22-153, where they made it illegal to have an audit, and they made it illegal to make these images and save the log files. So that was a big play by the deep state to attack Tina. This wasn't such a distant little mistake. They went for her. I will put out this there, and Peg, would you, or maybe I can do it in the chat afterwards. Okay, so on Monday morning, I mentioned Tori Morris. She's an Intel community whistleblower, and she does a podcast called Tori Says. It's T-O-R-E Says. So she said that Monday morning she's going to basically do, I don't know if you want to call it an expose, but she's going to talk about this in depth. She knows Mike Lindell and his peers. She's got the dirt. If you want to call it dirt, she's got the intel. Maybe I should put that there. She always has receipts. So at 7 a.m. Mountain Time, her shows would be from like 7 to 9 on Monday. If you want to know more about it, I highly recommend you go to Rumble. Tori Says, and listen to what she has to say, because I was just there watching, and I saw some of what was happening and asked her a few questions, and it just made my light bulbs go bing, bing, bing. I see. I just had confirmation of what I have been concerned about for a year and a half. And you know, I fought with Tina on her recount lawsuit. And for those pieces to fall in place, it just shook me to my core. And so I'm going to say it out there, and we need to be hashtagging or whatever. We've got to save Mike Lindell because they're trying to destroy him.
All right. All right. Thank you, Linda. And then, Peg, if we can just kind of wrap it up real quick with you. They had, whoop, did we lose Peg? Oh, there you are. Right. Okay. So one of the other things they did, and we talked about it on Wednesday, Ron Hanks gave we said he had like 12 minutes to talk about Reason to Hope in Colorado, and he only talked for five, but at least he talked for five.
Yeah, he had to speak very slowly to fill up the 5 minutes.
But just real quick, you know, in Colorado, I mean, I think that there are things going on in other states, and all of the states kind of gave a report. Am I right in that there are things going on in other states where they could fill up more than 12 minutes with Reason to Hope, right?
Oh, yes. Well, I think Colorado's biggest reason to hope is that people like Chuck and Todd are on the executive committee, and that Dave is in the chair, and we've got Anna as secretary. I mean, that's huge. Because this time, when we go to opt out, our biggest adversary isn't sitting in the chairman's chair, which it was last time. So we have worked really hard to do this, and that was successful. I think another thing that we need to do is go back to what I was pushing years ago and up until now. Every time we have an election, I try and tell the chairman of each county party to get a canvas board member who will refuse to certify the election because the elections are not certifiable. A lot of that's on mycoloradogop.org. And that's what we've got to do. We've, you know, call them out on this SB 153. Is that right? Constitutional? We'll make them prove it. I don't know.
All right. Thank you. And thank you guys for attending that. I mean, that's no shortage of time and expense and effort there. Drive safely. And
watch out for black SUVs surrounding you.
That's right. Exactly. Come back on real quick. If that happens, we'll broadcast it live. You guys,
oh, there you go. Thanks, Julie. What a friend.
We'll say, oh, there goes Peg and Linda and Adriana. Hey, you guys, drive safely. We'll see you later. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you both.
Keep skating. See you later. Bye-bye.
All right. Okay. So, and people have pointed out, Linda and everybody else pointed out, this Tori says on Rumble, there's some links there. Peg put it up there. Let's see. You guys have done so many great. From Jacob, if the election systems were online, why did Fox News settle with Dominion? Griswold's been very quiet lately. The online systems were detected in the skiff room during the election. The public, the documents proving this were not made public and were not subpoena available since it was a military operation. Maybe the skiff information will be placed in the pleadings in response to the Georgia indictments. Yeah. And then as Jacob, And hey, Jacob, once again, I appreciate the articles you send me. Tom Fitton said much of the same thing about voter fraud that Trump, Lindell, Giuliani, and the rest have said, that Tom has not been indicted, he thinks, because Fitton and Judicial Watch have won so many lawsuits to delete those who aren't eligible to vote off the voter rolls. I think you're right. He talks about those who are not eligible to vote because of death or a change of precinct, simple under the fact this is what the ordinary voter understands. And, you know, one thing there has been, and I think it, to their credit, Mike Lindell and those guys, he just keeps forging on, right?
Yeah.
And I know that it can, you want to be careful because it can be confusing. But you also have to remember, anytime, everything that the mainstream media has told us, everything the Democrats told us, everything the rhinos in the establishment have told us was a conspiracy theory has turned out to be true. Right. So anytime they say, well, there's no hacking, there's no this, there's no that, that's all a whack job conspiracy theory.
Well, except now we're being alerted that the things you thought were conspiracy theories, at least I thought were conspiracy theories, like JFK's assassination, now apparently were, in fact. You know,
yeah. So to me, the Democrats have attacked the election system on a number of fronts. And I think we need to respond on a number of fronts. The ballot harvesting, cleaning up the voter rolls, making sure that, you know, doing the kind of work that Mike Lindell there is doing. And so that's just what I would say. I know some people say, oh, we shouldn't talk about this, we shouldn't talk about that. We need to, the Democrats are doing it on all fronts, and we need to respond on all fronts. And I think maybe just come up with some good fronts of our own, you know, and actually so we can kind of win.
Come up our own fronts of our own.
That's right. So back to though, kind of for fun, and I think maybe I'll text Wes and say we can get him on to promote their event. But I think it's just fun. And how do I say it? The Trump campaign?
Monday.
The Trump campaign apparently said, you know, no final decision has been made, but I have a feeling that they may have leaked this through Maggie Haberman a little bit.
The New York Times reporter,
just to see. But apparently Trump is going to be on with Tucker Carlson. I hope that's true.
Yeah.
Tucker Carlson, and he's not going to go to the Bret Baier, Martha McCallum. And, you know, here's the thing, because I was thinking about this. Okay, so those people are total uniparty puppets, right? So I could see this happening. So Bret Baier and Martha McCallum, you've got, like, I'm sure DOJ sources handing them questions to ask Trump so that he has to answer them.
They do it through the CIA.
Oh, okay. But I mean, don't you think, I just think that's part, I mean, if Trump, if you're his lawyers, you're like, don't debate, number one, running. But you know they're going to set him up with, I mean, I suspect that just directly, that they would directly set him up with questions that would help the prosecution against him, and that they would force him into a position of either saying, well, I can't answer that. So effectively having to take the fifth at a debate, right? Or to go ahead, and then, you know, Mike Pence is going to set him up. They're all going to set him up to try to hurt
My guess is that Ramaswamy is going to be attacked in lieu of Trump, because his interview with Tucker Carlson was an eye opener for me.
Right.
He's either the greatest BS artist since Obama, or he may be something of the real thing.
Right. Well, and I was saying, we're sort of like, we've all been in this abusive relationship, right? Where you just don't believe anything anymore.
Right.
You know, you're like, so yeah, actually we're going to talk about Ramaswamy next week. Cause I want to get into that. Cause you do, you read stuff and then everyone's just like, no, he's Barack Obama. He's Barack Obama 2.0. And you know, you don't know what to believe. It's hard to know. The guy is good. But yet Barack Obama sounded good too. Right. Yeah. So you never know. Hey, for this Party Friday, we don't have a ton of time left. What I did find, so we've been talking, everyone's been talking all week about the Oliver Anthony rich men north of Richmond.
Which he accused me of having obsession with.
But Chuck is obsessing over. And then you brought Sean Hannity accidentally, who said he's been watching it repeatedly too. And Chuck's like, so I'm like, you're turning into Sean Hannity. But there's another guy. I think it's not really imitation. It's sort of, I don't know why this isn't actually plagiarism, but it's a great form of flattery. But a rapper has put taken the song and done a remix of it. So I just wanted to play that for you on this Party Friday. So Tom, if we could please play the rapper remix video.
All the rich men, all the rich men. This for the women who birth all daughters and sons and they nurse all. All of our family while we are traveling, trying to get paychecks and work hard. I don't know how much longer I can take this. Only looks like I got half of my paycheck. How can I explain this all to a baby? I know I'll read it, the statement you gave me. Near missing a lot, know you've been working daily around the clock. Gotta provide for the family you got. But you laid off, sincerely your boss, I'm sorry. Isn't that sounding outrageous? How about you go home and say that? Go to your daughter and tell her you broke. Cause when your boss will give you some change, you would take it. I am not one to just take it. I am not one to be lazy. Earn what I get, I put days in. I am just one my payment. Lord, it's a damn shame.
There you go.
Right?
He just, it's called, he's an African-American man, the Marine rapper, if you want
great.
To hear that.
I
so, yeah. So I guess I can't say it's racist, although everything is racist, right? How can they'll probably say that's racist too. Sure. So,
he's conservative, so it has to be, or at least he's not a liberal. So he's
exactly. Exactly. Hey, then you guys, we had to tell me see if there's any, just the comments just real quick. Oh, some Jim Jackson, keep up the good fight. The Democrats can sink a lot lower than they already have. And they will. That's true. So we just have to keep up the good fight. I'll get Wes on to talk on Monday about the GOP watch party. But again, I think they should you Republican Watch Party people have your own plan, I'm sure. But I would put up a little Twitter thing, too,
so
people can see him side by side. Just a thought there. And also, I think we'll kind of take a deep look into Ramaswamy, you know, because,
watch a Tucker Carlson interview.
Yeah.
And as I said, he's either incredibly good bullshitter, which he may be, or he's a bit of the real thing. So we'll see.
Hey, everybody, that's it for Party Friday. Thank you to Peg and Linda and Todd.
And Chuck on the phone.
Everybody on Zoom. Catch all the shows at chuckandjulie.com. Thank you, Thomas, once again, and all the great guys at BBS.
Take care, everybody.
Happy Party Friday.